Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Well, welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet. Our focus is today is going to be about presidential candidate David Clark. And we're going to patch him through the studio shortly. If you have any question for Dave Clark or David Clark, he's a Republican presidential candidate on the Republican ticket. You might not know of him, but he has a story, and I'm going to give him an opportunity to share his story on the air with us. If you like if you have any questions of him, feel free to put your information in the chat room. And
Dave, welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. Hi, David Clark here. How are you, Tim?
Dave, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
We had a technical issue, and I'm going to tell you what the technical issue is. It's kind of funny. Well, I had an appointment at a printer, and I went all the way across Fort Worth, and I remembered the number to dial into the studio, and I was like 15 minutes out of the neighborhood, and then it was traffic. And so I'm rushing to get to the console, because I remember with this console, you can't patch you in. So I was on my mobile. So anyway, welcome to the program. Tell us about yourself.
Well, I am a Republican candidate for president. I grew up in the East, and I've lived out here in Park City, Utah for the last 20 years.
Okay.
And I came to this decision to run for president probably five and a half years ago, realizing the situation here in our country. And unfortunately, I had to report that the United States of America is a broken country, and it is right behind Greece and Spain as far as their debt. We have a total national debt of $15 trillion. And my platform is to pay off the national debt. And in doing that, the problem that I did a piece, which I haven't forwarded to you, but I think that the United States has been in the age of appeasement from 1960. It started at the beginning of the Kennedy presidency and has gone on for the last 52 years. And what I mean by that, it's really where the country does not address the problems. It doesn't live within its means. Obviously, it's gone out and borrowed $15 trillion of debt. And being the United States and the people that we are and so forth, and I would say probably a spoiled country, if you will, I think that we have sort of this sense of entitlement, and we have a sense that we don't really have to pay off this debt. But I am here to say to tell people that the debt will not go away, and all you have to do is turn on your TV stations and channels and look and see what happened to Greece, and that's going to happen to us. We are probably between 5 and 15 years behind. We have more assets, we have more money, and we can deplete those assets down. But at some point, if we don't address the problem now, and I suggest that we do it now, we're going to be in the same problem, in the same situation that Greece is in. And that situation is what happens is economically is that they have what they call the bond vigilantes who will start to control. They're not doing it now, but they will start to control the interest rates. They will set the interest rates of the United States bonds. Again, this is probably 10 years out or a little bit farther on. My suggestion to the people of the United States or our country is that we take care of the problem. We start taking care of it now so that we can control the situation. Because if we let others control the situation, which is the problem that Greece has, they are not in control of their country whatsoever, nor their currency, nor their revenues, nor their expenses, and so forth. They are being dictated to basically by Germany and France. And I don't want to see the United States be put in that position again in the next 10 or 15 years. So that's why I've stepped forward here and tried to make a run at getting elected so that we can pay off the national debt. Couple things just before that. I am not a professional politician. That is the first time I've run for office. I am one of the people, and I am the only candidate now who's in the race who served in the military. Nobody else has, and I also served in Vietnam. And my campaign slogan is "Save America," because what's going to happen is that we're not going to like what's going to happen if we lose control of our country. And again, I think that's coming down the road. What I'd like to do is give you an idea of how I visualize paying off the national debt. If everything works out, I get elected president, I would take the vote, I would walk it down to Congress, I would put it on their desk, because Congress controls the purse strings, we all know that, and I would ask them to put together a bill for my signature to pay off the national debt. And I think that and this is a very, very difficult task that I'm asking the country to do. Unfortunately, there's no choice involved. That there is not that the choice to not pay the debt is not available. It's just a matter of when. And I'm saying let's do it now and not later. But if we can do this and Congress puts together a bill to pay off the national debt, that will be the single greatest day in the history of the United States will be when that debt clock in New York City starts to rewind. And this has never happened in our history. We had a tremendous debt, all things being relative, after the Revolutionary War. We had absolutely no money. They were paying the soldiers in some kind of script, and the United States had no credit. In fact, we weren't even a country. But they paid off the national debt between George Washington and Alexander Hamilton. They paid off the national debt. We did it after the Civil War, the First World War, the Second World War. We even did it after the Vietnam War. This debt has started compounding up from about 1970. So we're about 42 years into this process. And every single president, if you look, has increased the debt from 1970 during their tenure in office about 40 to 50%, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat. Everybody has just gone and borrowed money rather than addressing the problems and living within our means.
So when did this start? I know we had a surplus back in the 90s. What happened within a 15-year period that all of a sudden that is just been unmanageable? I mean, at the water, well, I'm sure.
Right. That was the federal deficit. In other words, okay. That's the deficit from year to year. Now, he had a surplus to his credit. But if you look, even Clinton during his 8 years, if you look at from the start of this, of when he took office to the end, the national debt, which is the $15 trillion I'm talking about, increased by about 40 to 50%. Even when Clinton was there, it did the same thing with Ronald Reagan before him. So this is going, and every president has done it. Bush 1, Bush Jr., You name it, every single president has gone to the piggy bank and borrowed money. And this is why.
Why is that?
Well, because it's a lot easier to borrow money than it is to address the problems and to live within your means. And we all know that from a personal point of view. Sure, it'd be nice if you and I could go down and borrow $50,000 every year, and then we could go out and buy a boat or a new car or whatever we wanted to. But for the most part, individuals don't have that luxury. The United States government does. And again, this is the first time in our history that we've ever done this. This is really the height of irresponsibility. And again, this is just like Greece. It's not going to go away. It's just not going to go away. It has to be dealt with, and we have to pay the money back. And so that is what my candidacy is. But let me just—I don't know how much time I have here, Tim. So tell me if I have to, if I have to.
Well, no, that's fine. We've got 30 minutes left.
Okay. What I would do is once I sign that bill, okay, and everybody wants to know, obviously, how are we going to pay this $15 trillion? What I would do is then I go to the country. I go to Congress and I ask them to put into effect a surtax, which everybody's talking about the surtax. And I would want everybody in the country who earns income, whether it's the lowest person, it's a student working her way through college, making $5,000 on odd jobs. Let's say her surtax is $100 a year, and then we move it up all the way to the multi-millionaires. And if you take Romney as an example, okay, so his income last year was $21 million. I mean, can you imagine a guy, the income, not the principal, not his net worth, but the income that he has to spend is $21 million. So let's say his surtax is $1 million a year. I'm just throwing numbers out, but let's say it's $1 million, $2 million, whatever it is. And then with the surtax, we would, and also Congress would be forced to cut spending in order to do this. We would be able to pay off the national debt, and I would think it would be, I don't want to handicap Congress or myself here, but I would hope it would be done before 10 years. And so in 10 years' time, we would pay off the national debt. Now, this is going to be a very, very difficult process, and nobody's going to want to do it. But I compare this effort really to starting our military efforts in World War II, except I think it's even more difficult. Because it's one thing when you have an enemy, Adolf Hitler over there, and he's killing people and bombing all the rest of that stuff. It's easy for people to get up and to fight him and to overcome the evil that he had there. It's another thing. There's no enemy here other than ourselves, who's created this debt. And this is going to be much more difficult, I think, because everybody has been at the trough here. Again, since this age of appeasement has been going on for 52 years, and we have not addressed the problems. But what would happen also is, so we have the surtax, which would come in, pay off the debt. We would also have more economic growth and jobs in this country. And the reason is, once the people know that there's a plan in place to do something, and to do something positive, which obviously paying off the debt would be, then confidence comes into the small business owner, and they can go ahead and plan for the future. And that's what we don't have now. The growth in this country is very, very weak, and it's been that way for a long time. Unfortunately, Obama has put this country in checkmate. The government can't do anything because Congress is not letting them borrow any more money. And unfortunately, the government doesn't know how to run if it can't go and borrow more money, because it's been doing that consistently for the last 40 years. And all of a sudden, the checkbook has been taken away from them. And so here we are in checkmate. We can't do anything. You can't do health care. You can't do Social Security. You don't have any growth in the economy. As I said initially, this country is broken. And I think the way to start repairing it is to start with something very, very positive and dynamic, which will be to pay off the national debt.
Okay. So taking that into account, I mean, To be fair on both sides, I mean,
sure.
The 9/11 major impact, it was a point of no return. We had to go to war. It was not really an option. Or we just lay there and just continue to take this. So all of these underground things costing us a lot of money, and we added to the credit card because we didn't have the funds within our budget, and we didn't take the fiscal responsibility to say, hey, let's figure this out. No, we just got in the midst of that, and then we were just faced with it. Now comes out of this big boom, and then all of a sudden the crash in '88. To the point that now we are just trying to support the economy and support our infrastructure and fight a war. Of course, whoever the next president then is going to have to face that. In the past, maybe the last two presidents didn't really have to face it. But then after this, someone's going to have to face it and come to terms with it. With the Congress itself, I mean, we don't know how this is going to play out. This election, because I have not in 30 years have seen Congress like what they are today. They can't compromise on anything, but a lot of the perks and sticks they used to have in the past, they don't have anymore. We complained about it and we took it away from them. Now, hey, I can't give you this. We don't have the earmarks and stuff like that. That kept things in check. Now we're just going backwards, and these are the cards they dealt with, and it's hard choices to make. What is your agenda? First of all, you got to get people to be able to come to the table and compromise on something. You're going to have some experts to come out and say, hey, this is the best approach. We have all these minds that people want to come in and say, hey, my special interests have this, my special interests have this, drug companies have that. How can you take all of that noise aside, get Congress to do what they're supposed to do without having anybody to influence them? Because it is a hard decision. It is an extremely hard decision, and this Congress is not equipped to handle it. Whoever comes after, you know, whoever is 2013 has to deal with it. The Congress has to deal with it. The president has to deal with it. What is your suggestion of trying to put these people together in one room? Two branches of government?
I would say that it's a good point that you brought up. I would tend to get along, I think, with people from both sides of the aisle. And I say that because I'm 68 years old and I've been around a long time. I think that my observation of the current president is that, and I don't think I'm wrong here, is that I don't see him getting along with people that well. And what's interesting, I don't know if you ever heard this saying, the A students work for the B students, and the C students run the company. But that's the way it is in life. And the problem is that Obama is an A student. And what that means is that, and I was a C, at best I was a C student, okay? And what that means is when you're an A student in life, everything comes pretty easy. And so, because, you know, you're getting straight A's in college. I mean, this guy went to Princeton and Columbia. I went to Columbia, but through the back door. But so things came pretty easy to him. And when things come easy to somebody in life, what happens is they don't have to develop other parts of the personality, such as getting along with people. And I wonder, and the observations that I make, and I'm not against them, but the observations that I make is I wonder quite seriously what this guy does all day, because there's nothing to do. As I say, we are in checkmate. They can't do anything. He puts together this bill, which was the Obamacare thing. Now, when you have something, just to go into this for a second, the medical situation in this country, Medicare or healthcare, I guess it's called, 17% of the total cost of the government is healthcare in this country, and yet he put through a bill which had zero Republicans vote for it. And to me, that right there and then, I mean, that is just, because let's say the Republicans are 49% of the population and the Democrats are 51. I don't know what the percentage is, but let's say it's something like that, okay? And so there you have almost 50%, almost half of the people and their representatives in Congress voted against what he got through, and here it is, an enormous part of the economy. And so right there, I mean, I think it's very telling. And you know what I really find fault with here is the fact that, and he's not alone here. I know this happened before Bush, but Iran has threatened, and they did this in a speech, the president over there did this in a speech at the UN in New York City. He said that Israel is a cancer on the face of the earth and that he is building a nuclear bomb and he's going to use it and wipe them out. Now, these are his words. Now, this is exactly like, in my opinion, Hitler in 1938. And what happened was, as we all know, Britain and everybody appeased Hitler, and appeasement is just a way of encouraging. And what has the United States done to stop this threat? Because let me tell you, when they drop a nuclear bomb on New York City, which I assume they will, I mean, that would be their target. What kind of damage? That's going to do more damage than Adolf Hitler ever did to this country. And what are we doing about that? I mean, if the first job of the president of the United States, whoever it is to protect the country, it would seem to me. And he's not doing that in any sense of the word. And secondly, he's not protecting our treasury. Right now, he's had, I think, for the last 2 years, $1.6 trillion of it. Now, this is the federal deficit, okay? This is an annual deficit. So, in other words, $1.6 trillion. So, in other words, the U.S. government is spending $1.6 trillion more than they're bringing in. So, if he's not protecting us from foreign terrorism with nuclear bombs, and he's not protecting us with our money, what I have to say, I don't know, this is an old saying is lead, follow, or get out of the way. And I would say to Mr. Obama, please get out of the way. That's the situation we're in the United States here today. This is a broken country. It's not as evident as Greece, but it's well on the way to being evident. And when it becomes evident to the entire country, it's going to be too late, and we're going to be manhandled the way Greece is being manhandled.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So, you know, this is a huge economy, and we play a significant part of the economy for the world. It's no easy fix here. Again, whoever comes in next year you can't fathom what the workload is going to be, and you're going to have a new Congress and maybe a new Senate. You just, you know, these people have to come together. You're still going to have to bring these people together to the table to agree and make hard choices. I mean, you might can say, okay, hey, on one end of the stick, yeah, we need to figure out what's going on in the Middle East. But then look at the other part of it. We can't afford to fight every single war. I mean, we have to cut something. So you can't have it both ways on one end and have it on the other, if that makes sense. So if they say, okay, hey, if we have to cut, this is what's going to happen. Forget what happened in the Middle East, and when something happens, then we just address it. But when it comes over, once they blow up something, then we'll react. But we can't be concerned what's happening in the Middle East. Let it take care of themselves, and it is what it is. We have to put our purse strings back in order. I don't know why the United States has to be the world police. You know, but it works both ways. I mean,
unfortunately, we are, and we have been for at least the last 100 years. And again, I just been reading some of FDR's speeches, and this is, to me, well, I tell you, paying off the national debt. Here's the benefit, though, Tim. If we can do that, the price of oil, or the price of gasoline, of a gallon of gasoline, goes from, let's say it's $4 today around the country as an average, it's going to drop to $2. So that's going to put extra money in everybody's pocket, everybody from the poorest to the richest. Of course, the richest doesn't matter, but for the average person. And secondly, it's the purchasing power of the U.S. dollar is going to double at least, maybe go up even a little bit more. So in other words, all of the products that we buy from around the world and import, whatever they are going to be half as expensive as they are today. So that's going to benefit our economy tremendously. And as I said, if the debt, see, the debt is something that is common to all of us. Social Security isn't, because if a guy's 25 years old, I'm sure he's putting away money, but it's not something that's imperative if he's 70 years old and he needs that check every month. So debt, this debt, this national debt, is common to every single person, and there shouldn't be anybody anywhere who's not concerned about it, who doesn't want to end up in the same position as Greece. And everybody's seen that on the television. I mean, they're rioting over there, they're burning down buildings, they're striking. Nothing is going well over there. And when you have $15 trillion of debt, there's nothing good that comes out of that. And let me just say, this is going to be a very, very difficult process. This is not an easy process that I'm talking about here. But what I'm saying is, if we can create the resolve in this country and get the backbone to do something great in this country, which we really haven't done, I don't think we've done probably, I can't think of anything we've done great in the last probably 50 or 60 years. I mean, well, since about 1960. So this will be the first great thing that we've done since 1960.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about as the government?
Yeah, as a country, sure.
Okay. Now, a country, I mean, we have, I mean, look at computer PCs, look at, you know, companies like Facebook. I mean, the technology has really taken off. We're the leaders in that.
Yeah, we are.
You
sure.
Can't say, yes, but, yeah, for the last 30 years.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying we haven't done some of those things, sure. I mean, we're the leaders in the world in a lot of different areas, I dare say. But at the expense of creating this mountain of debt. And, you know, the problem, Tim, is that the debt isn't going to go away. That, in fact, I sent out an email to on LinkedIn. I said, what would you tolerate? I was taking a poll or whatever, and I said, what would you tolerate having the $15 trillion of debt for how many more years? 5 years, 15, 10, 20 years, 50 years, and I didn't get back any good answers, but nobody likes this debt, and we're paying for this debt every single year. This debt is probably costing us about $500 billion a year, so we're paying $500 billion of money that could be spent elsewhere to pay off the interest on the debt.
So what's your position? So that's the national debt. Right. Your solution is what with the national debt? Real simple.
Pay it off.
Pay it off.
Start, I get elected. I get into office. Congress puts together a bill. Hopefully we can do it in less than 10 years. Because here's the other thing. The quicker we can do it, the quicker we benefit as a country. But here's what's going to happen, okay? If we do this, and I know this is a long shot, but if we do this, this country is going to change for the better. I mean, you can't pay off $15 trillion of debt and not feel a heck of a lot better about yourself and be responsible. Right now, we're at the height of irresponsibility. You think that Greece is irresponsible and Spain are irresponsible. Well, Spain has 46% unemployment with people under like 25 years of age. I mean, it's ludicrous. Could you imagine that happening in this country? But we are much bigger debtors than Greece ever will be, because we have the wherewithal to borrow money, and we went to the bank and borrowed as much as we could, mm-hmm. And now we can't borrow anymore because Congress will not, and thank goodness I say, will not allow anybody to borrow more money in this country. And thank goodness. And, you know, not only has the government done this, but they set such a bad example of being such debtors that all the individuals have done the same thing. Everybody maxed out. Now, the people, the individuals are starting to pay off their credit cards and the rest, you know, revolving credit, all this that stuff in this country, which is really to their benefit. But the government should be better than the people. And the government is not. We look down upon our government because we think they have done a terrible, terrible job, and they have. Every single Social Security, health care, national debt, a lot of people don't like what they're doing over what they've done in Iraq and what they're over there doing in Afghanistan now.
Okay.
I think more than half the people don't like it.
We had to take a station break real quick, and we'll be back to wrap up the last 13 minutes. And we'll go on some of the topics that you outlined in your platform. Again, Tim Jacquet with a Core Business Show. We'll take a station break.
You're listening to the Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com.
Again, the Core Business Show. Our guest today is David G. Clark, Republican presidential candidate. His campaign is Save America. David, let's jump right into your platform topics that you have here. Resolve the nuclear threat from Iran. What's your opinion on that?
Well, I do not believe in appeasement. I would address them, and unfortunately, since they've been doing this nonstop for about the last 6 or 7 years, I think the only recourse is to address the situation militarily. And I would hope to do it in conjunction with Israel. And again, this is just Adolf Hitler. And I think we, as they always say, if you don't learn the lessons from history, you're doomed to repeat them.
Doomed.
And
absolutely.
And the problem is, Tim, is that the enormity of the damage. I mean, we saw what happened. You know, two airplanes. I mean, here are two airplanes, and they cost the United States about $200 billion of damage, plus all of the rest of the stuff in the market and the economy and, you know, everything else, with two airplanes. I mean, if a nuclear weapon drops on New York City, the kind that these guys are building over there in Iran, I hate to think of it. I mean, I just, obviously nobody does. So, again, this is something that, and if somebody threatens you with that, and they're building the weapon to do it, and it's been verified time and again, I think we need to do something else about it.
Okay.
Let me go quickly, because I know we don't have a lot of time. Another part of my platform would be to have a congressional investigation. I want Congress to do this into the illegal trade activities of communist China. And to start with what they've done, and I don't know how much you know about it, but what they've done is the first and foremost is they have manipulated their currency. And this is a practice called beggar thy neighbor, where they keep the, and they're not the first people in history to do this, but they keep their currency low so that they drive the prices down to other, you know, the neighboring countries and make them poor and poor, which they've done to the United States. I mean that's just the facts there. I would restructure healthcare. Okay, this is another one. Obviously, I've been looking at, and again, 2,700 pages. I mean, I can't even imagine anybody reading that much and then trying to absorb this Obama. Again, it's not that it's Obama's health care plan or whatever. It's just that it's the health care plan before the country. And I would take my perception of the whole thing is it's much too complicated, and I would take a totally different angle at health care in this country. Because obviously it's not working the way it is. It's just not working.
No, it's not working as it is. And if they strike it down, then you start all over, and then it caused some other issues. So, you know, so I guess you deal with that. Again, they had to table that. It's not going to happen this year. What about maintaining Social Security?
Yeah, Social Security was a great idea. I get Social Security. I mean, it's a terrific idea. It was back in the 30s when Roosevelt initiated it. The problem is, okay, I think it was in about 68 or 69, the U.S. government through Johnson, under Johnson, started to take the money. This is how bad we are. Not only did we borrow 50, or do we have a debt of, or create a debt of $15 trillion, we also took the money that all of us saved from, let's say I started my job when I was 23, 24, and putting aside money for Social Security. They took all of that money and went and spent it on whatever. And all they did is they left IOU notes, okay? And now they're saying that they're running out of money and they cannot honor the IOU notes that they put into my account when they took my money. I mean, this is blatant thievery. I mean, there's no other way to look at it. They took my savings account along with everyone else's and went and spent the money on something else, okay? And then so what I would do, I think a great, and especially for younger people. I mean, I've got three children who are in their early to mid-30s. They're putting aside money for Social Security, and they think it's a big joke because they're going to guarantee me that money's not going to be there. So what kind of confidence does that give a young person who's going to work every day, trying to make a living, and they're having Social Security money taken out of their paycheck, and then they know it's going to be just put down a rat hole, and they're never going to see it when they retire? I mean, that is not the way to run a government, believe me. And then the last point is energy independence. I had a farm in Vermont in 1973, okay, and I used to get all the gasoline I wanted because I was a farmer. I had an agricultural exemption. And we would sit around there in 1973, so this is 40 years ago. And what has the United States of America done in 40 years? Absolutely nothing. And I remember in 73, and here we were young kids, you know, 30-something. And we said, listen, all you have to do is you make an engine instead of getting 20 miles or 18 miles to the gallon, which might have been the average back then, you double it. That's all. How hard can that be? Like you say, we have all this technology in the world. We can do these Apple, you know, apps. I mean, stuff that we could never put a man on the moon. This is stuff we could never have envisioned. And what they can't make a eight-cylinder motor engine, you know, for a car that in 40 years that would double what it was from 40 years ago, miles per gallon. So, and what that does is it allows terrorism. How do you think Iran is funding those nuclear weapons now? It's from all of the money that we send over to buy their petroleum with. And what have we done about this? We haven't done a darn thing in 40 years. So, as I say, this country is broken. There are a lot of things to do. I think that starting with the first thing first, with everything else is predicated on, pay off the national debt, and this will change our country for the better and get us going in the right direction again so that we can address these problems in the future for our children and for our grandchildren.
Absolutely. I think energy independence you mentioned as well. How can you – energy independence?
Okay. Yeah, that's what I said. I would hope that we would become energy independent. I would want to do this through renewable. I'm not interested in pipelines from Canada with tar. I mean, can you imagine how polluting tar coal is or tar oil up there? I mean, I can't even imagine. I want to do this with renewable. I live in, where do you live, in Dallas?
I'm in Dallas.
Okay, I live in Utah. And I got to tell you, there's no state in the union that gets more sun. And I have been in this town 20 years, and we get sun all the time. And I have seen one solar energy panel on one roof in my town. I lived in Florida for about 5 years, and they call out the Sunshine State, okay? I was there 5 years. I never saw one solar panel. I never saw one. And I fault the government for not making the people put those on their roofs somehow, some way. But because, you know, I know we don't want to force people to do things, but we are giving the terrorism and the terrorists over there in the Middle East all the money that they can use. Excuse me. Could you imagine if Saudi Arabia didn't have any oil? What would those people do? They don't create anything. They've never built a television set or a cell phone or an automobile. All they do is sit around and do nothing and collect oil revenues. Absolutely nothing. Same thing with Iran, same thing with Iraq. They're probably the most unproductive people that have ever been in history. But we give them the money because we need their oil. And what have we done? We've done absolutely nothing in this country. It's unforgivable. So we have a lot of work to do. That's all I can tell you. We have an enormous amount of work to do in this country. As I said, this is going to be a greater effort than World War II, but I want to get started. I want to tell the people what the problems are here in the United States, and the first thing to do, first and foremost, is to start by paying off the national debt, and we'll go from there.
Okay, I'll follow. In running your campaign, how you organize? Have you actually done your official filings, or for presidency?
No.
The candidate?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. What I'm looking to do, Tim, is I'm trying to run a parallel, and I am running a parallel campaign. I'm trying to get to the major media outlets. And thank you very much for letting my view my opinion in Dallas, but in New York City with the newspapers, the magazines, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and radio and TV outlets there. What I'm hoping to do is I think the Republican Party, the GOP, is going to realize that I don't think there's a chance that Romney, who seems to be the front runner now, which I think he is going to beat the sitting president. It's hard enough anybody beating the sitting president, but Romney is not, for various reasons, is not going to do that. And I hope that my campaign will have enough media impact and that they will choose somebody. Because basically, in my opinion, it's a waste of time and it's a waste of the money. I mean, they're looking to spend $500 million on the candidacy of Romney, and all that money is going to be wasted. And he has no ideas anyway. I've never heard any of the candidates anywhere say, let's pay off the national debt. That's why I'm running this candidacy. So I'm hoping that by the summertime, whether the convention I think is in August or whenever, that they will ask me to come forth. I know, again, it's a long shot, but that's what I'm trying to do here.
Well, it's all about America. We can do what we can do.
I hope so.
I wish you the best. I mean, all you can do, all you can do, and hopefully your endeavors materialize. You can probably make some type of impact at the convention.
Right. Absolutely. Yep. That's all I can do. And again, thank you very much, Tim. I really appreciate this. It's been terrific. And if you can give me some reply, I'll send you an email or something to any of your colleagues there in the Texas area, who could give me some help or whatever. I'd sure appreciate that. But thank you for what you've done here. Okay.
Thank you so much. Take care. Again, David Clark, presidential candidate for the Republican Party. Take care and have a great day. Bye-bye. Again, this is another production. Thank you. I appreciate it. Again, another production of the Core Business Show. Apple Capital Group is our sponsor. Thank you for listening, and have a good day.
Thank you for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For a free quote on equipment leasing and financing, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. And fill out the information to receive your free quote. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. Thanks again for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.